All right, we're still talking about the law of confession. And we said to confess means to declare one's belief, to cause or to allow something to be seen, to acknowledge or to make known to others. So therefore, the words that we speak out of our mouths are crucial. They are very, very, very important. Why? Because you were created in God's image, which means you got the ability to speak just like God. In truth, he made you to speak on his behalf. Let that register on you. You were never supposed to speak for yourself. Because your life is hid. Your life is hid. He says, I'll take care of you. Your life is hid in Christ. So all I'm supposed to speak is what thus saith God. Jesus declared, and I believe with all my heart, he says, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what my Father does. Okay, so if Jesus is our pattern, that means we must say what God says and do what God says to do. And we really don't have a lot of liberty that we take. And this is why we miss God in the little things, because we take liberty that we really don't have. So you misuse words. Something that God gave us to talk like him. And we see all throughout the word, God always said what he wanted to have, not what he was looking at. That's something you got to learn. You got to quit talking about what you are looking at. If what you are looking at does not match what God said about you, you need to stop saying it. I have to keep reiterating that, because if you don't change your tongue, the first act of faith is to change your tongue. That's the first law of faith. Your tongue must come into agreement. What has already been declared about you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, go to one of my favorite passages. Go to Mark 11. Let me get there along with you. Well, let's go to James chapter 3 first. Keep your mark on Mark 11. Let's go to James chapter 3 first. Look at verse 10. See, in James is talking about a conflicting situation that should not be done. It shouldn't be being performed, because he's saying you're doing an impossible thing. Watch what he's saying. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said, this is not common in the body of Christ. This is not something that should be normal. You're cursing and you're still talking blessing. He says, can a fountain, I know I'm paraphrasing, send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? No, it cannot do it. Why? Because that water's been issued from the root up. And whatever's in the root is what's going to come up. And it's going to have the dominant role. So you can't pretend like you really believe in God and say something. See, a lot of people, they're like a parakeet. You're a mimic, and you'll say what you know is right to say when you're with somebody that does it right. But that's not who you are, because when you get home, what's in your well is what's coming up. And that's either bitter or sweet water. And what we do, we conflict our heart when we won't say something consistently. Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives? I've never seen it. You've never seen it. Or a vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet water. The two don't blend. Look at Matthew 12 real quick. He says, verse 33, Matthew 12, 33, there has to be a decision. Say there has to be a decision. And Jesus is talking here. He says, you there? Okay. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. What is he telling us to do? Make your words right or just keep right on cursing. But don't keep trying to do both. Oh, shucks. I know when you get home, you had your pity party. He said, but you're cursing yourself. Because the words you say to yourself is cursing you or is building you. See, and because you release it, I'm so tired of this, you're still cursing you. Watch what Jesus, this Jesus teaching, right? Oh, generations of vipers, how can you, being evil, he called this evil. There's something evil going on inside of the heart. Speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart, what's going to talk? The mouth. And I was telling people, I've been telling people for years, that in the presence of the anointing, whatever's in your heart comes out. People say stuff they don't even know they're saying. Because they get so used to saying dumb stuff. And in the presence of a faith person, it's like a neon sign. You can't hide it. It's coming up. But I say unto you, who's saying this? Jesus saying it. Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word, now what's an idle word? It's an unproductive word. It cannot connect in the kingdom of God. It's a word that does not fit in the kingdom of God. You cannot find it in the kingdom dictionary. That's an idle word. That word does not belong in your mouth. If you can't find it in a kingdom dictionary, it doesn't belong in your mouth. You pulled it from another kingdom. But every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. See, he's not just talking about being condemned in front of him. You can be condemned here by what you say and don't say. You say, but it's hard. I can't hardly make it. You just condemn yourself. Because that word is not in the kingdom dictionary. There is no such thing as that sentence that you can't make it. That is so hard. It's not in the kingdom vocabulary. I'm trying to train y'all. We've adapted. See, that's kind of like, that's that liberty. You took the liberty to grab something because it sound comfortable. And it's popular. But it's unproductive in the kingdom. Now, it's working, but in the wrong way. Oh, it's working. All right, now let's go to Mark 11, verse 22. And we have to keep going there because a lot of people misunderstand when you say you need to change what you say. I can't tell you that if you don't fix your mouth, I can't keep saying this enough. If you don't fix your mouth, faith is never going to work right for you. It's never going to work. You just, because your mouth is like the catalyst. Because hope alone will not bring a manifestation. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. Are you there? Mark 11, look at verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith, or the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are you a whosoever, shall say unto this mountain. Now who's doing the talking? You be doing the talking. Jesus didn't say I was going to talk for you. He says you're going to have to do some talking. If you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. This is why you can't listen to nobody tell you, do it in fear. You can't find that in the kingdom vocabulary. He says, don't doubt in your heart. But there's a process. Say process. For you not to doubt in your heart, there's a process that's connected. It's the principle of confession that most people mess up. And I'm going to help you this morning if you allow me to help you. That principle of confession is crucial. He says, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then it talks about you living a life of forgiveness, because if you not liking somebody and hating on them, your prayer just shut down. There's no such thing as you being heard and you mad with everybody in the book and thinking God hearing you. No, not going to work. But here's the principle I want to share with you this morning. That principle of confession works like this. I have to confess the word. Remember we shared the scripture last time about Abraham being fully persuaded, and I walked you through how that he didn't start out being fully persuaded? Neither do you. Jesus said when the disciples asked him, Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, what he's saying, if you take faith and plant it like a seed, it has process of growing. It grows as you develop it. But what we do, we say the word a couple of times, and then we think our situation is going to change. You're not fully persuaded. That's why it hasn't changed. Come to grips with it. You saying the word once or twice a month, once a week, every now and then about your stuff, it's not going to impact it. It has to first persuade you. So the first level of confession is begin. It has to begin so you can be persuaded. What we try to do is take that word that is designed to persuade us and use it as a command. And you don't have the faith to command it yet. That's why it doesn't happen. Because you're trying to, I command this to go. You better have faith for it. The devil look at you and say, girl, go ahead. He sent back in the corner and said, she going to get discouraged in just another 5 days. Just give her. She keep talking like that. Because he already knows where your faith level is. Just by the exercise of your mouth. And we won't see, we talked about the parable of the sower. When you see that person where the birds came and ate it up, and it said immediately came, because they did not submit, it said because they didn't understand. That meant not because they didn't have the ability to perceive what was being said to them. They did not submit to it. And immediately the devil came and took it. Because they weren't starting out ready to confess it yet. They weren't quite ready. See, they weren't even a little bit persuaded. They still trying the word. Oh, Jesus. You can't try Jesus. So you need to stop singing that one. You cannot try Jesus. And it talks about that in that parable of the sower, how that person, the devil immediately came and took it. Why? So it could never get rooted. so it can never develop their faith. That's the whole plan. So you got to understand something. The devil is not after your house. He's after your faith. He ain't after you. He wants your faith. Because you've been built like God to speak like God. He's after your faith in your mouth. Because without your assistance, he can't build anything in this kingdom. He can't build anything in the earth without somebody's assistance. He has no legal right. Somebody has to give him the opportunity through their disobedience or their lack of understanding and help him build what he got in this earth. Because he doesn't have any rights. Because he doesn't have a body. He has to use yours. He has to use your mouth. When you gonna stop letting him use you for nothing? He doesn't even pay you interest. He doesn't even pay you good. And see, oppositions and challenges come not because you all that in a bag of chips. You know, you hear people say, well, these things come to make you strong in the Lord. That's a lie from hell. You don't have trials to make you stronger in the Lord. They come to rob you of your faith. And if you don't say something, do something, you're going to crumble. And just because you survived don't mean you walking in victory. Because you still dumb. And you're going to get up and say the same dumb stuff you've been saying. People think because they didn't get scorched in the fire, they all right. You shouldn't have had to go through the fire. We don't think about that, right? Jesus said, there's a level, see, there's a lot of saying. He says, look at verse 24 again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now you're talking because you got to open your mouth to pray, right? There are no silent prayers. How many of y'all know that? So you can exclude that because that's a myth in the kingdom of God. You can't silently pray. Something has to be hit in the atmosphere. Something has to be pronounced for it to be prayer. They said, bow your head. We'll have a silent prayer. You better be saying something under your breath. Even if can't nobody sit here but you, nobody next to you, because you're not praying. You're thinking. God never said, bow your head and think. He said, pray. What am I going to pray? I'm going to say what he said. Prayer is coming into agreement with what God says. It's not rewriting the script and say what I feel. He never told us to pray what we feel. He never told us to pray what we're looking at. He gave us the pattern. He told us that you can look at the mountain and you say to the mountain, not pray about the mountain, not even cry about the mountain. He says, speak to it. And you got to keep right on saying what God said until persuasion. Yes. And when you are fully persuaded, the devil can't stop you. See, he's trying to get you from getting to that point of being fully persuaded. Because that's when you're most potent. Because now you're going to turn around and you can command him to loose his hold on your stuff. Yes. You ever had a battery? If you use it for something else. And it got just enough power, and you think you can use it in something else, but that thing requires more power than that battery actually has. That's kind of the way y'all look. We're trying to take that old battery and put it in this situation right here, and it doesn't have enough power to make it work. Because we haven't become fully persuaded. When Abraham became fully persuaded, the Bible declared that he got his answer right away. Now, it didn't say it in that way, but that's what happened. Because in 9 months, Sarah gave birth to Isaac. But it took him 24 years to get to that level of persuasion. See, you don't have to wait that long. That's why God had to change his name. Because he had to get him persuaded, because as long as he kept saying Abram, and Sarai, all they could consider was, my body's still old. And guess what? The Bible declared that Abram believed God. And God accounted it to him as righteousness. So believing is not enough. Say, believing is not enough. The devil believed the word, but he can't get it to work. Now, what the Bible says, say he believing, he even trembles, but he can't get it to work. So believing is not enough. You must speak. You were designed to talk like God. That's the only way your circumstance is going to change. And if you're too timid to say what God says, if you won't go to this word and find out what he said about your situation, it's not going to change. It'll get worse, but it won't change to the good. And you actually begin to blame God for your circumstance. You know, you may not say it publicly because you're too scared to say it and think, you know, but in your heart of hearts, you think God failed you. And you begin to say, that stuff don't work like that. It doesn't work. No, it's not working for you because you're not using it. It's kind of like, you know, you got a lot of quote-unquote gospel artists. Lord Jesus, don't let me go there. Okay. Help me, Lord. Because, you know, I've been listening to gospel music a long time. And I buy a lot. And if you see my collection of CDs, my church can tell you, I got a vast collection of CDs. On my iPod, I got over 5,000 songs because I like music. Doesn't matter that I don't sing like you, but I can sing my way. And I love good music. But I don't like hypocrites. So why should I partake in their demise buying their CDs? Because the more I buy their CDs, when I know their lifestyle. See, you say, well, they're still growing. No, they're not even in church. They're not even submitted. You're just another money target. And they'll put one song that sound like God's name in it. And y'all go buy the CD, but the rest of it is trash. The whole CD is trash. And they come to town. And they up there gyrating like they're going to bed. But y'all think, but that's a gospel artist. And they wagging their butt in your face. And you go pay that, but you won't give an offering beyond $5. And tickets start at $50. And you gonna pay that money to go see somebody going to hell. And you helping them. Because every time you support their concert, you're saying, it's okay, go to hell, man, go to hell. I'm for you, I'm rooting for you. Go ahead. As long as you sing that song I like. And then you come out of that mess, and then you're going to try to confess this holy word. It doesn't work. You polluted it. Jesus said over in the book of James through the apostle James, you can't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. You cannot be lukewarm and get the answers of the word. Jesus, God says in the book of Revelation, if you lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. I have nothing to do with you. You ever been done with somebody? You say, I'm over them. You ain't got nothing for them. Well, hello. God started it. You didn't invent it. God says, you want to act like that? I don't have nothing to do with you. I'll spit you up. I'm going to vomit you out of my presence. Go ahead and stay lukewarm. Because you can't speak this word living in carnality. And think it's going to work. Now, you got to choose. I told you I can't ready to fight. And I ain't scared of none of y'all. None of y'all on online, in line. between the lines. I ain't scared of none of y'all. Because I know what it takes. When you talking about getting answers to the word of God from the word of God, you got to put your life in order that'll meet it. You can't live any kind of way and then think you're going to say a couple of scriptures a couple of times and God ought to honor that. Be real. See, y'all been living in social media too long. It's a fake world. It's a distraction for most people. Now, it can be a tool of ministry, but it's a distraction for most people. And you get all your cues from people on social media. You don't go to word for yourself. You waiting for an apostle or somebody else to say it, and they get up there and say, you don't know what apostle is like behind the scene. You never seen him. Don't know nothing about him. You don't know how many times he's been married, and I'm not coming against that. But you got a lot of fake apostles. All they want is the hits and the likes, because why? They're going to get some money behind the scene. You get so many subscribers, they pay you. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's why a lot of people on YouTube right now and on social media, because they're going for the money. You ain't up there trying to minister. This is not for everybody. Don't get offensive. But most people not up there because they're trying to really, really, really help you. They up there because they want the money. There is money in YouTubing. There's money for being on Instagram. And they sucker you in with their little gimmicks and all that stuff and their fake talk. And then you go try to implement something they said. And you don't know if that's for you. See how off we are? When you got a whole Bible full of God's promises. I don't care who's teaching and who's saying it. I got to know it for me. Even in my teaching, because I'm living in a human body, I can make a mistake. I can say a word incorrectly, you know, because I am growing spiritually. But that's not my intent, and I believe you know the difference. If you're not, you need some other kind of education. Because it's time out for us pretending like God holding up our stuff. He said, you either for me or you against me. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you for him or are you against him? See, because in this final hour, it's going to take the bold person that says, you know what? I'm living for God 100%. You're the only one that's going to get what God promised. It's because God is separating the wheat from the tare. It's already started. And you're going to have to divide that line as to where you're going to stand. And if you say this word long enough, it will persuade you. If you go in this word, I tell you what, one of the greatest things we've been doing in this church, for those looking online, we've been reading the Bible. At the end of this month, we should have read the entire Bible in 3 months. And guess what? It's happening. Because I believe that the more you know this word, the easier it is to be taught. But when you come unprepared in your heart, you haven't spoken the word, you haven't read the word, you don't do nothing with the word all week, then you come sit in a chair and expect God to perform a miracle. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. How many of you all got children online, in line, in the house? And all that child lay up in the bed, won't do nothing. You can't get them to clean. You can't get them to wash nothing. You can't get them to help you do nothing. And they want to eat everything you put in the house. I mean, you know, that child going to annoy you in just a little bit. When you got to keep going to work and feed them. Now, I say a real parent. I said a real parent. They're going to get annoyed. Some of these modern parents, they're scared of their children. So they're going to let them do whatever they want to do. I didn't bring no child in this world that I'm scared of. None of them. And they all grown. But I ain't scared of them. And I'm going to say what I got to say to them. Because they need that sometime. They got to be pushed along. Just because they grown, married, or whatever, you can't stop being in their life. They still need wisdom. They still need guidance. But if you stupid, acting up like them, good gracious, there is no hope in your family. You saying all the crazy stuff. And I mean, but you want to keep taking care of that child and that child laying up in the bed. Now, some of y'all have done that and you are reaping the fruit of what you sowed. And they won't listen to you today. Oh, geez. I know that's a shot, but that's the truth. And you have to deal with it. And see, truth has to be heard in order to fix what's wrong. When somebody tried to tell you, beat that little joker. Time out is not working. What is time out in a corner anyway? And the child can look around and do all, looking all up in the ceiling. What does that do for a child? Tell me, how does that change the nature of the child? How does that change the character? See, you're going against the word. The word declares. See, this, we got to go back to the word. The word says to discipline that child. He said the rod won't kill it because you're not trying to abuse the child. But the Bible says the only way that rebellion is going to come out of that child, you got to whip their hind parts. And all y'all modern day Christian parents that don't believe in beating your kids, they're going to go to hell because of you. And ain't nothing you can do about it unless you change. You broke it, now you fix it. You can't keep doing what you've done all the time and fix it. I know it sounds like I'm fussing, but I got fussed out. So I'm fussing at you in love. It's time to change. Y'all been calmer at home. Now, don't ask me to start telling your business. Because I do have discernment, the Spirit of God to tell me. I don't want to tell your business. I'm trying to help you now from the pulpit. Don't let me have to walk up on you and say something to you when you can hear it now and change. See, this is what God been doing all the time. He said, take my word and change. Judge yourself so you don't have to be judged. Because somebody going to judge you. Even God going to judge you in the end. But the world will judge you. Do you know something I learned about the world? They don't like phony Christians. They don't like phony Christians. You over there sipping and dipping with them. They ain't interested in you. They making fun of you. Because you're not winning them. You don't win them that way. You win them with the power and the demonstration of the word. You go in there and they know you coming and they ready for you to leave. Because they want to party. They know they can't party as long as you're present. But if you made them comfortable in their sin, you have done them a misjustice. They should be uncomfortable because of the anointing. The anointing always disrupts sin. Jesus did that. Wherever he went, he disrupted sin. Demons got upset, but they knew who he was. And when he spoke, they had to obey. Because Jesus didn't try to do both. He lived one way, and that was unto the Father. He was hated by some, but he was loved by many. You can't try to make friends and stay holy. You got to love yourself enough to know, I'm just right, and God is for me, and that's all I need to know. And it starts with your mouth. When you start saying to yourself, I can't make it, I'm lonely, I'm hurting. I tell people all the time, yes, losing a loved one or they're leaving this earth, it can hurt your emotions for the moment, but you can't keep saying that. I'm so lonely, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Let me give you a job. See, your life not right with God yet, because you shouldn't grieve like that. You said, what? No, you shouldn't grieve like that. Well, you miss the person forever and forever. You'll miss them as long as you're on this earth. Why? You can miss them but not grieve. We talk about two different things. People grieve so much they become dysfunctional. They need a psychiatrist. They go on antidepressant pills. All behind somebody leaving this earth. Or a divorce. I think divorce is worse than death. Because the ripping and the tearing, and then you still got to see that person, and you kind of wish they was dead, but you know. And it's like the, see, God never invented divorce. That's why he hates it. Because the ripping and the tearing. See, it's not just where the person leave and go to heaven, and there's a like a nice smooth cut. No, that's ripping and tearing in divorce. It's designed to make you hurt. I don't know how I'm getting on all this stuff, but that's all right. You're gonna listen to this morning, because somebody need what I'm saying. But you're doing people an injustice to be in their environment with no anointing. What you're saying to them, and because they look successful, they still need Jesus. And if you're the touch point and you're never touching them with the confession of the word, with Jesus, with the anointing, how they gonna hear without a preacher? You're the preacher at the moment. How they gonna hear the gospel? And you're not fully persuaded yourself. You're still trying Jesus. That's why it's not working. Because you're trying him. You don't have to try Jesus. You stop trying him, he'll work. And then you get in an environment, you say something religious. Well, the Lord know your heart. He sure does. He know yours too. And he know you're a chicken. You know, people sometimes, you know, I don't tell everything about what people ask me and stuff like that, but sometimes people ask me stuff, and you be trying to help them to the best of your ability. But I'm back to the point now that I'm start asking people, are you born again? Let me see your credentials. Because you're talking like a fool. How you be born again all this long time and this the best you can talk? Now, I'm gonna hit you where you at. You've been born again 5 years, 10 years, 6 years, 12 years, 20 years, 18 years, 30 years, and you still can't talk? You still can't command things to change? Whoops. Don't tell me you're full of faith. I read my Bible every day. Great, you should read. How much have you lived? How much have you absorbed? You know, if your body doesn't absorb it, you get no nutrition. So if you're not absorbing the word, you just read it. You got no nutritional value. That's why reading and studying are different. You should read, but you must study. Said, Pastor, you hitting us really hard this morning. Yeah, because I want to see change. I want to see change in your life. I want you to get rid of all those excuses in your mouth. I'm too old. I'm too young. I got too much stuff to do. Then unclutter your life. If you went to a doctor today or a psychologist, the first thing he's going to tell you, and you say, well, I'm so stressed out, he's going to say, unclutter your life. You got too much going on. You can't even get healed. You can't get fixed. You don't have time. You think you that oil place over there. Do it in 5 minutes. And if it can't be done in 5 minutes, I don't have time. And then we get to Mark 11:22. And Jesus said, you're supposed to have the faith of God. So that when you talk to your mountain and you command it to be removed and cast into the sea, when there's no doubt in your heart, he says, but if you believe in that those things that you say the things that I say, and you do believe what you say it enough. This is why commercials are so important to TV and radio and whatever you look at that has commercials. Because the more they repeat it and say it, the more it becomes a part of your lifestyle. And you'll start singing their little slogan. You don't even know what it means. You don't know the intent behind it. All they want is your dollar. And the more you look at it, the more you desire it. You say, you know what? I'm going to go and try that. Now, y'all know y'all do. Y'all know this is Christmas in July, right? My favorite time of the year besides December. Because they go together. Christmas in July and Christmas in December. Well, you know, I was watching my favorite channel besides the Word Network, or not the Word Network, but Victory Channel. And they had this thing up there, and I'm going like, yield not to temptation. But guess what? I talked myself right into it. And I picked up the phone and wasn't nobody in the room but me. And I dialed that number. And the lady on the other end says, oh, what's your name? And I said, my name is Mrs. So-and-so and Mrs. Dale Davis, because that's the way they got listed on the count. She says, and you want what? So-and-so and so-and-so. And she said, oh, it'll be there by July the 24th. Now, who did that? Who called for it? Who put it in motion? That's the only way I could have gotten it. They weren't going to call me and ask me if I wanted to buy the item. They didn't even know I was looking. Unless they got that little machine, what you call that thing that tell you how people watch your show? What is it called? The algorithm? What you call that? What's the name? Okay, y'all, YouTubers, y'all act like y'all don't know nothing today, but that's all right. I'm going to get you next week. That's okay. Y'all know the word I'm trying to reach for. Jalen, what's that word? The word that talk about how they count you, who's watching your show. Oh, analytics. See, I know somebody knew the word, but it's a word called, when somebody, it would say, hey, DJ said he didn't want to get it wrong. I understand. That's all right. We in church. We learning. But see, they set that up so they can gauge how your business goes. And when it's not doing so well, then they'll send you an email. But see, in the kingdom of God, God's been trying to get you to get this, but you won't open the email. I'm right here. This the email today. This your email. Open it up. This your email. You're not getting a lot of likes today. You're down on the pole. What you going to do about it? How you going to bring it up? what you're going to say to change what I'm looking at. God looking at that and say, man, they about on rock bottom. What they going to do to change that? Because I can't fix that. If they don't call for something, if they don't call for something, Lord, help them, Lord. If they don't call for something, it won't come. I called QVC. They did not call me. God is not going to call you and say, here. You got to call for what you want. That's called hope. See, you got a picture. How many of y'all still got y'all dream book? In that dream book, that's your hope. You got a picture of what you want. Now, how you going to get it? How you going to get it? How you going to get it? I got to call for it. I remember Jesse the planner said, God said to him, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. When we going to call it up? Because Jesus just told us, if you believe and doubt not, you got to be fully persuaded. And how am I going to get fully persuaded? Because I'm calling for it every day. And every day that I call it, I am strengthening my faith. I am becoming fully persuaded so that when I say it the next time, my mouth will become a commanding machine. It has to show up. It has to change. And what I'm looking at has to change. Everything in this natural arena has been commanded to hear your voice. Everything, from the weather to everything, has been commanded to hear your voice, the voice of faith. Not that pity party. Not praying about your problem. God don't want to hear about your problem. He says, remind me of my word. When you go to your phone or your computer and you put in that password, what are you doing? You are reminding that instrument that I'm in authority. That's why you have a password, so nobody else can use it, because you're in authority over it. That's all right. You learned today, didn't you? And it's changing. It's changing. I say it is changing. Because it's time. Because Jesus said we can call those things that be not as though they were. And if that's in the Bible, then I need to put that in my mouth. I can call things, even though it's not looking at me in my face right now. I'm not paying attention to my bank account. I'm not paying attention to my body. I'm not paying attention to my brokenness. I'm calling what I want. What do I want? I want money. I want my debt paid off. Then you got to say something. You want your house paid off? You got to call your house paid off. You need increase? Call for it. You need health in your body? Call for it. You talk it up. That's what old folks said. Oh, you talk me right up. That's what they would say. That means you were talking about them so strong that you drew them to your conversation. Draw something from this word into your life. Call it up. And Jesus said, whatever you say. Whatever you desire, whatsoever you say, when you pray, believe, and you shall have. You shall have what you say. You shall have it. Shall means it must happen. Stop sending out bitter and sweet water. Stop mingling with the world's ideas of how things should be done. And money cometh. Health cometh. Increase cometh. Favor cometh. Whatever you need comes because you called for it. Because you're a faith person. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Did you learn anything this morning? Hallelujah.